Greetings, saints of God. Our God is sovereign. He still sits on the throne. Praise his name. Let's talk about your foundation. Is it sand or is it rock? Many pastors have destroyed my vineyard and have trodden my portion underfoot. They have made my pleasant portion a desolate wilderness. Jeremiah 12:10. It is easy to see the results of today's shepherding upon the flocks in the churches out there. Many of us have been in these terror barns. We've supported their nefarious agendas, fattened up their bottom line at one time or another. This includes the various and sundry ministries on the radio and the TV. Those who have come out of these places are staring into the eyes of the truth and can now see the vast difference in the gospel of Christ as opposed to the gospel preached from the pulpits. Or should I say the absence of the gospel? Grace is now a convenient accommodation for the deluded sheep to continue in their vanities and lusts and sin, and they can sin their way right into heaven. Grace is now a license for profit and gain, for the pastors have become brutish and have not sought the Lord. Therefore they shall not prosper, and their flocks shall be scattered. Jeremiah 10:21. Needless to say, the flocks are scattered, albeit congregating en masse in the terror barns. It's a valid paradox. If the name of Jesus is used by the shepherds, it's a byword, it's a hook, it's empty of meaning. You who have come out of the churches have been returned to the Father who has called you. Glory be to his name. The fact that you have come out at all speaks of Father's great mercy and love. It seems that today many a true watchman of God must contend with those who have once heard this truth but have decided that the way is a little too narrow for them to follow. Thus another gospel has been accepted. The watchmen are reviled, they're ignored. And as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. Galatians 1:9. Those sent strong delusion have heard the truth, but now have accepted a substitute. And woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Jeremiah 23:1. What could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, it brought forth wild grapes. Isaiah 5:4. The condition of these churches today won't change, nor can anyone change them. They'll only grow worse, quieter, sleepier. The poison causing apostasy constantly secures a firmer hold upon their hearts and minds and spirits. Many are willfully deceived. The narrow way, the simplicity of Christ, the gospel, does not exist in the church mentality, nor in its spiritual psyche. The blood of Jesus Christ doesn't run in its veins. It cannot. Those who are preaching anything but the true gospel of repentance and brokenness, humility, surrender, or holiness have trodden down their own vineyards. They've trodden down the grace of God and his Messiah, his Spirit. Their sheep have not remained in the gospel of Christ, if they ever heard it at the outset. And they sit in open opposition and rejection of Jesus Christ from the pulpits down. Face it, if the holy doctrine of Jesus Christ is denied, so is Jesus Christ. They serve their own bellies. Romans 16:18. Simple. And in all the vineyards shall be wailing, for I will pass through thee, saith the Lord. Amos 5:17. When true shepherds or pastors were ordained of God in the Old and New Testaments, one thing is evident. Those ordained of God were sent to their flocks, no matter the size. Today, those who arbitrarily take up the mantle of pastor by convenience or choice or education, tradition, certification, etc., etc., either replace an existing wolf or begin to call a flock to themselves to build a church upon the sand of error of cheap grace, among other fractured cornerstones. They're not building on the cornerstone. The tide is rising and will reveal the foundations upon which all men's beliefs are built, either to utter ruin or to the glory that is the true faith. Luke 6:48. Many a shepherd will stand accountable before God for those he has misled. Father will have nothing to do with these except to judge them unworthy to receive life. Or shall I say, Jesus will. These will stand before Jesus, being told he never knew them. Though their lawful, loving works be accounted worthy, they themselves will not be, for they never surrendered to the only way to life. They entered through another gate. They are thieves and robbers. They were never led by the Spirit of God. They were led by the need for acclaim or self-righteousness, a righteousness not derived from the gift of faith given at true conversion, but a manufactured counterfeit. They got a lot of help from the enemy and they didn't even know it. Without the righteousness through the gift of faith, we could never have gotten ourselves. Jesus will never recognize us. Jesus will never know us. Jesus only recognizes his attributes in a believer, his reflection. If they are not present, the believer is not genuine and is turned away from the gates of heaven in the end. Think about this again, folks. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will Jesus tell them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. Matthew 7:22-23. They did wonderful deeds. They did great things in the name of the Lord, but the Lord didn't recognize them. Think hard about this passage, saints, folks. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entered not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. John 10:1. Much of the core of the gospel, where the feet meet the dust of the road, is stated in Matthew 7. Just look at it. The narrow way is no hook. It's no popular catchphrase, and it certainly ain't no way to make any money. The narrow way is more a warning to those who truly seek the truth after answering the call of God. You're on your way to be regenerated once you've been converted. Go all the way. Desire the truth and nothing but the truth. The warning is to those who decide possibly to turn away from it in exchange for some easier way. This is where you're shipwrecking your faith. This is at the heart of the counting of the cost of following the real Jesus Christ. There is no other way to eternal life but through this gate, this door, this way. John 14:6. No other walk but the lonely, agonizing walk of Christ will get us there either. We're not called by our bellies or our pastors or our relatives or our friends. We are called of His Spirit. We are called of God. John 6:44. We are called to holy living, that which comes of the Spirit within us. The fruits should be evident, including humility. This power of the Holy Spirit, this is what gives us the power to renew our minds. Romans 12:2. We're told to renew our minds. That doesn't happen automatically. No. Renew your own mind. Where's your power? If you want to obey God, He will bless you with all the power that you need to overcome. If you want to show off and you want to fit in and pose, then it's by your own power. And Jesus won't know you. This power causes us to have the guts to mortify the evil deeds of the flesh. Romans 8:13. That faith, which is a gift of God and not something we've jazzed ourselves into finding through the dead preaching and pitching we hear from all quarters of the media, that faith is of God, His gift, not something you're going to glean from anywhere else but His Spirit. We can do nothing to save ourselves. I've said it a million times. We were deaf, dumb, and blind in our spirits, and God called us. The voice opened up our eyes. Remember Lazarus? Believing ourselves capable of working toward our salvation is deadly folly. The works we are so often accused of as being legalistic come after repentance and sanctification, and these are the works of Christ in us. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? James 2:20. Works of a dead faith, another gospel, are as dead. This harmonizes with the end of those who have constructed their own faith in Matthew 7:22 and 23. For as the body without the Spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. James 2:26. God the Father has worked His vineyards to bear sweet and pleasing fruit. Those He has left as stewards of His vineyards have destroyed it, plain and simple. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Matthew 25:30. Hath not the potter power over the clay, of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor, and another unto dishonor? Romans 9:21. We're talking about a sovereign God here, folks. Now, I'm not the only one who preaches this narrow way, but those who do preach this can be counted on one hand with fingers left over in the end. I've preached this before, I'll preach it again, and I'll continue to preach it. I would preach this way wherever I go and by whatever means. Much of the response to the truth is simple rejection, scoffing. The enemy would cause us to believe that we are isolated because we're not truly bringing the truth. Not going to happen. I'm never going to quit. I can only say that they've been warned and the dust has been shaken off. Mark 6:11. If those who rejected the truth would rather suffer the judgments, which will be worse than those upon Sodom, then by all means they shall suffer them, because God is no liar. Our ministries were never arrogated to ourselves, nor have they been modified to bring us financial gain or sustenance. The few of us out there on the walls have jobs like everybody else, and some of us have pretty lousy jobs. We can't afford the luxury of using all forms of media to reach out with the messages. I say let God's will be done, and plow in the field you've been given to His glory. There are too many potters out there, and not enough surrendered, willing, humble, sanctified, selfless vessels. And we still can't discern the real from the counterfeit? We should be ashamed. Whose spirit is in you? According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. 1 Corinthians 3:10. We have the foundation of Christ. But what are we adding to it? How are we adding to it? What kind of building materials are we using? Are they true? What kind of foundation do you stand on? Is it solid and immovable, safe and secure in Jesus Christ? Or is it sand? Is it sinking, shifting, unstable? What did you truly do to be saved? You were born into sin. You were dead to the truth. You were mercifully called into the light of the truth and salvation from sin by Father through the door, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise His name. Sin, therefore, rules not in your mortal bodies, nor are its pending penalties over our heads. It's up to you to honor the commitment of Father's grace and await your blessed hope with perseverance. Otherwise, your hope is in the wind. And the place in which you worship is your own temple, basically. Stop grieving about not having anybody to fellowship with. Stop grieving and blubbering like a child with no hope. You grieve the very sufficiency of Jesus Christ when you do that. Fellowship with the God who called you and took you from the depths of sin. Worship Jesus Christ every step of this lonely journey, for He is the only one who will go with you and stay with you through the trials and tribulations. When is anybody going to get this? And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Ephesians 5:11. We're getting too wound up in the cares of this life. And if we're not careful, our shepherd Jesus will be the only one walking on the narrow way after we've slipped off to the side and gone into the thickets of carnality and needless cares again and again. That's not acceptable. The glory goes to the God of your salvation, and we cause Him to be ashamed of us. What are you, you who choose the narrow way in the end? You're strangers, 1 Peter 1:1. You're pilgrims, 1 Peter 2:11. You're sojourners, 1 Peter 1:17. Do these who have Christ and His gospel have deep roots in this life? God forbid. In James 4:4, friendship with the world includes pampering your flesh. It includes agendas. It includes self-righteousness. It includes self-preservation. These will be tested in the day of fire, 1 Corinthians 3:13. And what sort of work will it have been? Come on. By faith you do all to stand, and that not of yourselves, Ephesians 2:8. By the gospel, the word of God, you persevere and endure to the end. Pray that you're accounted worthy to escape that which is coming upon us, upon the world. If you are to be delivered up to death for your faith, then rejoice. Every time you wake up in the morning and you still follow Jesus Christ, you're taking hits for that, you know. You are being delivered up to death every breath you take for Christ, because of Christ. They don't have to come at you with the pitchforks and torches. The enemy's doing a fine job of it on his own when he's got you alone. So who are you truly alone with? It better be your God. Get back on your faces before your God once in a while, huh? Get back down into the dust you were fashioned from. Take a look at it, smell it, taste it. That's what you are. Cover yourselves with the cloak of humility. Crucify yourselves daily and surrender. Or you'll find yourselves cleaving to handfuls of sand when that wave of judgment crashes down upon our heads. And then it'll be too late to change a thing. Your fate will have been sealed. Your foundation will be pitifully crushed. Cry out to God. Seek Him while He may be found. If right now His Spirit is pulling at your spirit, you'd best answer Him and be ready. And count the real cost of following Him with the desire for the truth. You got to leave yourself behind, folks. Nothing but the truth is what He wants to give you, and that's all you better want. And we've got to break every tie that binds us to this world, to our flesh and to our bellies. It's better to go into the house of mourning than to go into the house of feasting. For that is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to his heart. Ecclesiastes 7:22, that's the spirit of sobriety. We don't follow Jesus Christ to get our jollies from this vanishing vapor of a life. Let's get real about this. We are crucified with Him that we may find life. Did Jesus take much with Him to His cross? He didn't take a family or friends or possessions. He didn't even care about His garments. He only cared to obey His Father and to forgive those who hated Him and despitefully used Him. His home was not the planet Earth, and neither is ours. He was forsaken of Father to fulfill the prophecies and establish the new covenant in the hearts of men and women. He established a new covenant with Y-O-U. Father will not forsake us now, thanks to our Jesus. But we will be forsaken by the world around us, and we must forsake our fellowship with the world. Our God is a jealous God, Jesus' friends fell asleep on him when he asked that they lift him up in prayer in the Gethsemane, didn't they? His friend denied he ever knew him, didn't he? Jesus Christ went to his life alone and abandoned for being obedient to the only one who matters, God his Father. If we think we have some new arrangement as Christians regarding our own personal walk to our crucifixion, our surrender, then we've been sorely deceived. There have been no new arrangements since the new covenant, since walking the narrow way. We will still take nothing along with us, nor will we drag it into heaven. We are called to sobriety and a heart of penitence and peace with God. I wasn't called to the heart I have, nor to this ministry to make friends. I don't expect to. As a matter of fact, I've lost friends when the wind blew a little too hard. Imagine that. You see, I'm not taking you through the gate. I'm not walking your walk. I may be with you on occasion along the narrow way, pass you along the way, stop and say hello, but we're all walking alone, all right? I'm going alone like the rest of you, like Jesus, with Jesus only. You're alone on this narrow way, folks. Accept the truth. You have only the foundation beneath you that you have laid up. It is a foundation whose cornerstone is Jesus Christ, isn't it? It better be, because no other will stand in the days of trial and testing in our lives. And what you will build upon this foundation will also test your faith. Is it strong? Is it nailed together properly? Or will it blow down in a big storm? No other structure but that built of faith and the true gospel will stand upon this foundation. Will you be washed away by the waves after you've shipwrecked your faith, leaving only that bare foundation that Christ established? He wants our houses to be complete and dug deep into his foundation. No other foundation is going to stand. No other will allow us to keep our spiritual footing along the road to life. Many out of the whole are called, and few are chosen. Few accept the way of Christ, and fewer still will ever find life at the end of their journey. Think about it. Get off your backsides and start living your faith. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. Ecclesiastes 2:11. Get on that narrow way with Jesus and stay on it, or walk away. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. May God bless you, saints. Stay on that narrow way, or walk away. Get those shields up and keep going. Don't quit. You're gonna make it. I'll see you again if God is willing and the creeks don't rise.